Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dimon. Yes, welcome back to another installment of Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and it has thrilled me so that you have joined me here on this radio broadcast. We're going to continue, as the name of the program implies, simply going to open God's Word. We're going to read it for ourselves and make an application unto our lives. We began a study last week looking at the song, Faith is the Victory, and we're letting the four words in that title of that song guide our study last week, this week, and probably another installment as well. So faith, we talked about what it means to have faith, Hebrews chapter 11. We're now finishing up the second word in that title, is. Is is an active verb. And we were just in James chapter 2 and verse 24, and I'd invite you to join me there if you have not already. Because James says, you see then how that by works a man is justified. He says, not by faith only, or not by faith alone. We began to discuss last week, as time escaped us, how it is important that we have faith. There are many people in this world who say, well, you can get to heaven on faith alone, yet the Word of God says, not by faith alone. Now, I'm not going to go with what they say, because I would rather be more pleasing unto God than unto men. Friends, and I want you to note this as we begin to wrap up our second point here of the word is, don't be upset with the results that you didn't get by the work that you didn't do. Let me repeat that for you. Don't be upset with the results that you didn't get because of the work that you didn't do. Friends, there are going to be many people on the day of judgment say, well, I wish something should have worked out better, because they are not doing what God has said to do. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, Jesus Christ says, as he begins to close the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, because you work iniquity. Friends, you cannot pick and choose what you want to do in order to be saved. You either do what God has said or you don't. It's plain and simple. It's just as simple as that. Well, as we're continuing reading the word, we're going to go from faith. We're going to go from is. Now we go to our third word in this title. It's the word the. Faith is the victory. Friends, the is an article. There's your grammar lesson for the day. It's also articles are also a and the. You've got three of them. And it designates the number or the location of an item. In other words, you may be over here and you say may say, well, here is the microphone, or there is the lamp, or there is the cup, or there is the ceiling. It's different than saying there is a microphone. I could have multiples here in this studio. Or there is a light. I've currently got four on. Or there is a cup. There's two. But when you say the, you are being definite, because we cannot have any sense of a doubt when we're dealing with the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father but or except or by or through me. That means Jesus Christ, when he says, I am the way, there is one way. When Jesus Christ says, I am the life or the truth, there is one truth. And when Jesus Christ says, there is one life, that means there or the life, there is just one life, friends. And this only comes through Jesus Christ. We learn that in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 4 through verse 6, that there is just one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism. And we need to make sure we're a part of that. So the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. How? Well, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but what, Jesus? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We need to remember, friends, that words are important. So as we move from thee, now we move on to the word victory. I love the word victory. Well, when we define victory, victory is defined as an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in a battle, in a game, or in another competition. You know, we're often familiar with the idea of winning because why? Well, it seems we all want to win. from simple things, maybe a game of checkers or chess or badminton, to more important things. Maybe you want to win a promotion, win the car, whatever the case may be. I don't know too many people that say, hey, you want to play a game of chess? I'd love to lose a game of chess to you. I don't know many people that do that. Why? Because they go into expecting to win. Friends, there's something about victory, though, that I need us to make sure we are well acquainted with. That celebration for victory, it occurs after the victory. We don't do it before. In fact, there are many videos going around of people who are so far ahead, maybe they're running a race, or maybe they're driving cars and they're racing that way, and they decide that they're going to take their celebration, their victory lap, just a little bit too soon, and it works out to their demise. Friends, we do a victory lap after. They do their winner circle after. No one celebrates before they've won. You don't need to be too full of yourselves, because it turns out you might not be victorious. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to those in Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, watch this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." What's Paul saying? Don't start celebrating before it's over. We need to wait until the end. Friends, spiritual celebrations always come after the victory. I'll say that again. Spiritual celebrations should always come after the victory. I think about what John wrote by inspiration to those that are there in Smyrna in Revelation 2 and verse 10, where he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation for 10 days. Watch it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We see that we need to celebrate after. That's when we get the reward. Is after. An often stated statement is, keep your eyes on the prize. Friends, we're going to take a quick break here. Join me on the other side of this break. We'll continue reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're finishing up, at least I think we should finish up, our study of faith is the victory. And so as we're doing this, we've already looked at the word faith, we've looked at is, we've looked at thee, and we've looked at the word victory. And as we're finishing our examination of the word victory, there are a couple of biblical examples I want us to contemplate for the time remaining that we have here. And our first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Here, Paul knows that he is at the end of his life. He knows that when he gets out of prison, he probably does not have much more time on this earth. History tells us that to be true. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul is in prison. He's under house arrest, as we might call it today. He is suffering great persecution from Emperor Nero. We've often found out, history has told us, that Nero would take Christians and he would hang them up, and he would line them on the sides of the streets going in and out of Rome, and he would light them on fire, and every night he would use them as his own personal torches to light the way. Yet Paul knew that was outside the door. Yet Paul says, "I have finished." Friends, Paul was ready for his life to be over because he knew his reward. Are you looking forward to the end of your life? Now, I'm not saying, are you wanting to just kill over and die? But are you looking forward to the end because, are you looking forward because you know your reward? Or are you dreading it? Friends, those that love sin, they dread the return of Christ. If you hate sin, boy, you're ready for Christ to come back. But if you enjoy the pleasures of sin, as Hebrews 11 calls it, for a season, then you don't want him to come back. You want him to just be delayed just about as long as he can. Friends, I would encourage you to hate sin and long say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly, if it be thy will." One other passage I want us to look, though, as we're looking at biblical examples of victory, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 2 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which all run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we," he says, "an incorruptible. So therefore I so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Once again, Paul's going to use that illustration. He's already used it to Timothy. He's using it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he's talking about running a marathon. Friends, I want you to note something very important about this life of Christian. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. We need to run this marathon. Verse 26 tells us, "He knows where he is going." No one will win a marathon if they do not know where the finish line is. That's plain and simple. If you do not know where you're going, then how in the world can you make it to that finish line? It's plain and simple. You can't. No matter what you do, no matter how many times you try, if you don't know where you're going, we know it to be true, you'll never get there. But friends, we as Christians, we need to know, we need to realize that our finish line is heaven. You know, the song is true. It says, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." Have you started that Christian marathon? We've looked at faith. We've looked at the word "is." We've looked at the word "thee." And we've looked at the word "victory." Faith truly is the victory that overcomes the world. Are you running that marathon? When you obey Christ, put him on in baptism, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you put on Christ in baptism, you begin running that race. How are you doing? Did you start out strong? Were you on fire for the Lord, knowing everything was going well? Or did you kind of get bummed out on mile 3, halfway there, nearing the end? Friends, keep going. Keep going, no matter what it takes, no matter if people like you or they ridicule you. We need to be like Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 14, because Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We need to be pressing toward that mark. If you have not started pressing toward that mark, then friends, you need to start pressing toward that mark, or it will be too late. Or if you've gotten sidetracked, if you have sat down, if you have quit running this race as a Christian, you need to get back up, because I tell you what, nobody that's still alive here on this earth has crossed the finish line. Nobody has. That's why we need to keep going. Keep going. Friends, I want to leave you with a statement that I believe to be very true. In all races, there is only one right way that leads to that finish line. There are not many ways. There's just one way. It's straight and it's narrow. And we as Christians need to make sure that we are following on that straight and that narrow path. So that concludes the first half of our study when we're looking at faith is the victory. And when we get to reconvene next week, which I'm already looking forward to here on this program, we're going to finish it up with the second part of this, where in the song it goes, "Faith is the victory that does what?" Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Until then, I hope you have a blessed week. I'm going to leave you with a passage now from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, where the Bible says, "May the good Lord bless you and keep you." Tune in next week right here on WBMC for another installment of Reading the Word.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.